Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. We're in Luke chapter 7. Hopefully, we're going to finish up chapter 7 tonight, and then we'll start on chapter 8 next week. But chapter 7 is a chapter that's just jam-packed of good stuff that Jesus did. You remember we started the chapter with the centurion that came to Jesus that had a servant that was sick. And the Jews besought him to heal the servant because the centurion was good to the Jews. And as Jesus was going to his house, the centurion sent word and said, "Oh, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just say the word. I have authority. I'm under authority. I have authority. When I tell people to do things, they do it. And I know you have the authority over sickness." And Jesus said, "So great faith I've not found in Israel." And he said the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. The second story we looked at is when Jesus went to the city of Nain and broke up a funeral. A widow's son, only child, had died. Jesus stopped the funeral procession as they made their way to the cemetery and said, "You don't need to go any further." He told the young man to arise. The young man sat up. Jesus gave him back to his mother. Last week, we talked about John the Baptist and how he sent word to Christ. He was in prison, and he sent word to Christ via two of his disciples, asking the question, "Are you the one that we're looking for, or should we look for another?" And Jesus continued to work some miracles and then told the disciples and said, "You go back and tell John what you've seen and heard." And tonight, we come to the last story. And sometimes when I say story, I worry that people are going to think that I think they're made up. They're not made up. They're true stories. They're true accounts of what happened in the life of Christ. But we come to an account tonight in the last 15 verses or so, starting in verse 36 and going down through verse 50. Of a story that Adam preached on last time he preached about a lady that anointed Jesus' feet. Some people think this account in Luke chapter 7 is the same account that's recorded in John chapter 12, where Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and Martha anointed Jesus' feet. I don't think that this is the same story. Because the lady in this story is described as a sinful lady. I don't believe the Bible uses those kind of words to describe Mary, the sister of Martha, and the sister of Lazarus. So I don't believe it's the same story as in John chapter 12. Some people think the lady in this story was Mary Magdalene. Now, that could be, although there's no direct evidence that it is. Luke's going to introduce us to Mary Magdalene in chapter 8, verse 2. This lady could have been Mary Magdalene, I guess, but there's no scripture that backs that up. And so we really don't know who this lady was. We know what she did. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So let's start in verse 36, where the Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet." He was probably still in the city of Capernaum, his headquarters, so to speak, when he was in that part of Galilee. He was invited to dinner by this Pharisee. Now, we're going to see that this Pharisee, even though he wasn't hostile to Jesus, he wasn't very polite either. Usually when somebody in that day invited you to their home, there were some common courtesies that they extended to you when you came into the home. Usually they gave you water to wash your feet. Usually they kissed you, greeted you with a kiss on the cheek. Usually they anointed your head with oil as a way of just refreshing you as they came into the house. We're going to see that when Jesus came to this Pharisee's house, the Pharisee extended none of the common courtesies. But Jesus went in to this Pharisee's house. Luke records two other times that Jesus ate with Pharisees. You know, he was criticized for eating with publicans. The Pharisees criticized him for doing that. But I'll just remind you that Jesus was no respecter of persons. If he thought he could minister to a person, regardless of whether he was a Pharisee or a publican, he took the opportunity to do that. And that verse says that they sat down to meat. Now, back in that day, what that means is that they reclined at the table. They had couches or blankets on the floor that they sort of laid on as they ate. Jesus was probably laying on his left side with his head toward the table and his feet away from the table. And as usual, as recorded in other instances of occasions like this, there were uninvited guests standing around the house or around the courtyard, probably, where they were eating. You remember when Jesus called Matthew, and Matthew invited his tax collector friends for a dinner and invited Jesus for a dinner. There were Pharisees gathered around the outskirts or the courtyard of that house. And that's the occasion that they accused Jesus of eating with publicans and criticized him for doing that. And so there were a group of people that were gathered around looking at what was going on at this dinner. Verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." So out of this group of uninvited guests that were standing around, comes a woman. Luke uses the phrase, a woman in the city which was a sinner. So a woman known in the city as a sinner. Luke doesn't describe for us what the lady's sin was, only that everybody in the city knew who she was and knew that she was a sinner. And she came, she was one of these invited guests. She heard that Jesus was going to be eating with the Pharisee. And the Bible says that she brought an alabaster box or a flask or a cruse of ointment. They only stored the most precious ointment in alabaster containers. And so the fact that it was in an alabaster container implies that it was pricey, so to speak, ointment, and probably was a valuable possession that belonged to this lady. And in verse 38, "And stood at his feet," at Jesus' feet, "behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." So she stood along Jesus' feet. She was overcome by emotion and began to cry, began to weep. And it wasn't just a few tears. It was a number of tears. It was a lot of tears. That verb weep is a continuous verb. She continued to weep and to weep. She wept so much that her tears spilled onto Jesus' feet, so many so that she used her tears to wash his feet and then let down her hair, which for a lady to do in public at this time was a shame. Respectable women did not let down their hair in public. But she let down her hair and began to dry his feet from the tears that she had spilt on him. Then the Bible says that she kissed his feet. Now, kissing a rabbi's feet was a sign of deep reverence for that teacher. And then the Bible says she anointed Jesus' feet with ointment. Now, again, all the verbs are imperfect verbs, which means she kept crying. And she kept wiping his feet with her hair. She kept kissing them. She kept anointing them with the ointment over and over and over. Don't know how long, but the verbs used means that it just wasn't a few tears, one wipe of the hair, one kiss on the feet, but many tears, many times drying them with her hair, many kisses on his feet. Probably emptied the flask or the cruse of oil on his feet as she anointed him. Verse 39, "Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man," doesn't even give Jesus respect of, and again, this is what he's thinking in his head, but even in his head doesn't give Jesus the respect of calling him by name, says, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. So the tone of the story sort of changes now. I mean, the first part of the story, we see the devotion of a lady that is anointing Jesus' feet. Now we see the spirit of the Pharisee. He says, again, this man, not calling Jesus by name, again, he didn't say it out loud. He thought this within himself. He said, if this man really was a prophet, some readings have the word the prophet. If this man was the prophet, the Messiah. Not sure which one the Pharisee thought. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. And so it could have very well said, if the Pharisee could have been saying, if this man truly was the Messiah, he wouldn't let this lady kiss his feet or even touch him. She's a sinner. For a sinful woman to touch a man, she would be contaminating him. No respectable rabbi would let that happen. No respectable prophet would let that happen. And so what the Pharisee was saying is, he's really not a prophet. He really doesn't know what kind of woman this is, because if he knew what kind of woman this is, he would not let her touch him. He would not let her defile his body by her touch. In verse 40, Jesus answering said unto him, now again, this Pharisee, we're going to find out his name, Simon. He didn't say this out loud. He thought it in his head. He said, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. He was being courteous. Even though he was shown no courtesy when he came into this Pharisee's house, he was being courteous. He said, Simon, I'd like to say something to you. And he saith, Master, say on. Well, if you have something to say, go ahead and say it. In the next two verses, Jesus tells what some people think are a parable. It could have been very well a parable. It could have been a true story that Jesus was telling. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Jesus said there was a man. He loaned two people money. One of them owed him 500 pence. That's about $90. The other owed him 50. That's about $9. So one owed him 10 times what the other owed him. Neither one of them had the ability to pay. I mean, the guy that owed $9 didn't have any more ability to pay than the guy that owned $90. And when they didn't have anything to pay, and by the way, back in those days, if you owed people money, you could have them arrested. You could have them thrown in jail. You could sell them as slaves to get your money that they owed you. And so by law, the one that was owed money to had the right to throw them in jail or to sell them as slaves. Now, if it was me, I wouldn't throw them in jail because they'd have no way of paying the money back. I'd sell them as slaves and hope I'd get some of the money back. Well, the guy that these guys owed money to didn't either one. The Bible says he frankly or freely forgave them both. Now, again, he was owed this money. He had loaned them this money. The loan was good. He had the expectation that they would pay him back. The law had certain remedies that he could use, but he did not avail himself of those remedies. He freely, at a cost to himself, and again, we're not told about his economic standing, so we don't know if it was a great sacrifice for him to forgive these debts or if it didn't really mean anything. It really doesn't make any difference to the story that Jesus was telling and the point he was trying to make. But Jesus said he freely forgave them both. Now, Simon, I got a question to ask you. Of the two that he forgave, which one do you think loved him the most? Now, again, this Pharisee, Simon, if he had been exposed to the love of God and the grace that Jesus was bringing, he probably didn't quite understand it. But I think he got some of what Jesus was trying to get across. because he answers in verse 43. Simon answers and says, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now, isn't it ironic that Simon thought that Jesus didn't know what kind of lady this was, and yet Jesus was going to show him, I not only know what kind of lady this is, I know what you're thinking about her in your head. I know she's a sinner, and I also know what you think about her. So he told Simon this story. He said, which one do you think loved the one that did the forgiving most? And Simon said, well, I suppose the one that was forgiven the most loved the most. Jesus was painting a wonderful picture of salvation in this story. They both owed a debt. Neither could pay the debt. The amount wasn't important. I mean, one of them could have owed a dollar and the other one could have owed a million. Didn't make any difference. Neither one of them could pay it back. Instead of giving them what they deserved, the creditor, the one that they owed money to, instead of doing what the law allowed, forgave them both freely. Doesn't matter how many sins a person commits. It doesn't matter how big the sins are that people commit. It doesn't matter how bad the sins are that people commit. The Bible says we're all sinners. None of us have the ability to pay for our sins, whether we've committed one or whether we've committed thousands. None of us have the ability to pay for our sins. Instead of giving us what the law prescribes, death, God loves us and gives us grace. And forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Simon may not have understood the grace of God, but he was familiar with the law. I mean, that's what the Pharisees were. They were lawyers. They understood the law. They interpreted the law. They knew that the law said if you didn't pay your debts, you could go to jail. You could be sold into slavery. And he saw at least partially the point that Jesus was trying to make because of the answer that he gave Christ. I suppose, you ask me which one loved this one the most? I suppose the one that he forgave the most. And Jesus said, he says in verse 43, and he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Simon, you got it right. Look at verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. I don't think Jesus had looked at the woman at this point. And he looked at her. He told Simon, he said, Simon, you look at her. I want you to notice some things. I came into your house, and common courtesy was for you to give me water to wash my feet. You didn't do that. But she's washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Again, it was common courtesy. You greeted a guest that you invited into your home with a kiss on the cheek to make them feel welcome. Jesus said, you did not extend that common courtesy to me. And yet, since the time that I've been here, she has not stopped kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Again, Jesus was saying, Simon, you didn't extend to me the common courtesy of the day. I mean, the common courtesy was that you anointed your guest's head with oil as a way to refresh them. You didn't do that. This lady, she didn't anoint my head. She anointed my feet. She didn't anoint the highest part of my body. She anointed the lowest part of my body. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. Jesus was saying, Simon, I know what kind of lady she is. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now, again, you look at that word forgiven. It means They have been forgiven, and they are still forgiven now. Jesus was implying when he used that word that this woman had encountered him before. I don't know if she had encountered Christ. I don't know if she had encountered some of his disciples and they told her about Jesus. But this lady came into this room with her sins forgiven. She was still a sinner, but she was a forgiven sinner. Because she had trusted what Christ was going to do on Calvary, the same way that every person that was saved when Jesus walked the face of the earth was saved, by looking forward to what he was going to do on the cross. He says, her sins, which are many, they are forgiven. They already have been forgiven, and they are forgiven now. For she loved much. She didn't get saved because she came in and washed Jesus' feet with her hair, or washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She didn't get saved because she kissed his feet. She didn't get saved because she anointed his feet with the precious ointment that she poured out of the alabaster box. She did all that because she loved him. Because he had already forgiven her. And she was expressing her thanks for the forgiveness that she got through Christ by doing all that she did to his feet, washing them with her tears, drying them with her hair, kissing them, anointing them with ointment. Then Jesus goes on, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Pharisees claimed they were righteous. Pharisees, because they kept the law and tried to live a life above reproach, thought that they weren't much of a sinner. God doesn't look on the outside. God looks on the inside. And it doesn't matter how many or how big or how bad our sins are. We're all sinners with no ability to pay. And yet through Christ, God forgave us all. Now, that last phrase that we just looked at, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You know, that verse right there explains why we preach about sin so much. That verse right there explains why I quote from the book of James quite often, where it says in the second chapter, but if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. That verse right there explains why I quote from Isaiah so often, where the Bible says, all our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. Because the more clearly we see our sin, the more clearly we see how wicked and vile it is in the sight of God. And look, I know when I preach to some pretty good folks. I preach to people that try to live good lives. I preach to people that try to live by this book. But I preach to sinners who many have been saved by the grace of God. And I don't want to ever forget, and I don't want you to ever forget, that you were a sinner and that all your righteousnesses in the sight of God were as filthy rags. And then when we stand before God, if we've only broken one commandment, not honoring our parents or telling a little white lie, in God's sight, we are just as guilty as a murderer, as the adulterer, as the one that doesn't honor the Sabbath. We're just as guilty in God's eye as the worst sinner you can think of. Because the more we see our sin, and the more we realize what a sinner we are, and the more we realize that it took the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ to make us right with him, the more we will love him. The more we will love him. Look, if you don't think you're much of a sinner, if it didn't take much of God's grace to save you, you'll be just like the person that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about Simon. He said, you don't think you're much of a sinner. Therefore, you won't love the one that forgives your sin very much. And if you don't think you're much of a sinner, then you won't love the one that extended grace to you very much. That's why I keep preaching about sin. That's why I keep reminding you, if you break the law at one point, you're guilty of all. That's why I keep reminding you, and myself, by the way, that all the righteousnesses that we have in God's sight are as filthy rags. And it's only because of his grace that we're made right with him. And we ought to love him. We ought to love him. We ought to love him like this lady loved him. Throw aside all our inhibitions. Throw aside the things that we might not do if somebody's looking, and say, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who sees me. I want everybody to know that I love my Savior. If I had the chance to wash his feet with my tears, I would do that. If I had the chance to dry him with my hair, although I'm losing the ability to let my hair down and do that as I get older, but if I had that ability, I would do it. If I had the ability to kneel down and kiss his feet tonight, I would do it. If I had the ability to take the most precious thing that I have and lay it at his feet as a way of saying, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your grace, for not giving me what the law said you could give me, separation and death and eternity in hell. Thank you for not giving me what I deserve. Thank you for giving me what I don't deserve. Thank you for giving me grace. If I had the ability to do that, if you had the ability to do that, if I know your heart tonight, we'd be lined up at Jesus' feet, ready to kiss his feet, ready to wash him with our tears, ready to anoint him with the most precious thing that we have. To whom much has been forgiven, they will muchly or greatly love. Verse 48, he quit talking to Simon, he talked to the lady. Maybe all this discussion had caused her to doubt what Jesus had done for her. And so he just wanted to assure her. He says in verse 48, thy sins are forgiven. They'd been forgiven before you came in. They're still forgiven. They're still forgiven. Verse 49, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? I'm sure the other Pharisees, I'm sure that's who Simon invited to eat with him, said the same thing that Simon said. Well, if this guy was really the prophet, or if this guy was really a prophet, he wouldn't let this lady touch him. He's being defiled by the touch of this sinful woman. And so when he said, Jesus said, the second time thy sins are forgiven, they said, who is this guy that can forgive sins, or thinks he can forgive sins? Jesus didn't pay any attention to him. He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You have peace with God because you put your trust in me. We have peace with God tonight because we put our trust in Jesus Christ. Great peace. Wonderful peace. The peace that passeth understanding. Our world can be falling apart, but as long as we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and know our sins are forgiven, we can still have that peace that passeth understanding. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.